Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Today on PTIB, Winky Madad joins me here at the broadcast table to discuss what King Abdullah of Jordan told the European Parliament about the land of Judea and Samaria. Remember, Judea and Samaria, and also the Jordan Valley, is the land that God has promised to the Jewish people. The king also said that Israel has no right to annex Judea and Samaria and the Jordan Valley. And the king then said that Israel is disrespecting international law. That's law pertaining supposedly to the land in question. This is a conflict that God has the resolution for. God said that when he could swear by nothing greater, he swore by his holy name that he is going to give this land to the Jewish people. Winky Madad will explain all of this in a moment right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. I want you to visit my website, prophecytoday.com. There at the Prophecy Bookstore, we have a very interesting DVD documentary. It's entitled, Israel, a Land of Conflict. We see that the King of Jordan told the European Parliament that the Jewish people have no right to Judea and Samaria, which the king calls the West Bank. Also, the Jordan Valley, separating the State of Israel and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, is a piece of real estate God has given to the Jewish people. In this documentary, you'll find that Israel, a land of conflict, is going to be in conflict until Jesus Christ comes back and actually gives the Jewish people 10 times what they have today. This is a very interesting documentary. It will help you to understand the enemies of Israel and exactly what they are doing to steal that land. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to the Prophecy Bookstore, and there you can make your purchase of Israel, a land of conflict. Well, we're going to the area of Shiloh. That's that ancient Jewish city in the center part of the State of Israel, historic background. But today, Winky, I want to talk about King Abdullah, the king, the monarch over in Jordan. He recently was at the European Parliament there in the European Union. He was talking about annexation. In other words, that which is what the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, is considering doing. In fact, he has made the political promise, if he is reelected, he's going to annex Judea and Samaria and also the Jordan Valley. Now, Winky, before I ask you about the statement by King Abdullah, what does annexation all mean? What does it have to do with Judea and Samaria and the Jordan Valley?
Well, Jim, let's first make clear the term. One state annexes the territory of another state. They can do it legally through an agreement, such as has been done throughout history after various wars. Anybody opens up a history book will see various empires or countries dividing up territory in agreement. There is annexation in a certain sense. For example, when the Ottoman Empire went to war in World War I and lost. And so the various nations who were fighting at the time divided up the Ottoman Empire because they took a chance and they lost. Most of the territories actually were not really annexed to the conquering nations such as France or Russia or England, but they were divided up among the local peoples, including eventually the State of Israel. That's how we got our mandate going back to the 1920s and 30s and 40s. I could also point out that Jordan, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, illegally, by the way, annexed what today everybody calls the West Bank and what we all know is Judea and Samaria in 1950, after going to war against Israel. So to round out my answer, I hope that King Abdullah is not trying to raise the question of, again, him, his kingdom, trying to illegally annex the territory of the Jewish national home.
And it seems that because of his speech at the European Parliament, he is concerned about Judea and Samaria and the Jordan Valley once again as it relates to the possibility of the sovereign state of Israel annexing that piece of real estate. He said that this would destroy a two-state solution. Now, my question is there still a two-state solution, and how would it destroy it?
Well, first of all, let me quote someone that you know I know very well, both in person before he passed on, and his heritage, Mr. Menachem Begin, who said that a people does not annex its own territory. In other words, the area of Judea and Samaria, and we've made this clear in the past, and I'm going to make it clear again on your program now, Jimmy, that territory was supposed to become part of the Jewish national home as decided by the League of Nations. So we think in Israel that the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel has the better claim to that area more than Jordan and more than even the local Arabs who are living there. Now, to get on to the question, the two-state solution really doesn't work anymore. That's because we have a Hamas state in Gaza already, and that's not very successful. And we have basically a PLO, Palestinian Authority state, in the area of Judea and Samaria, and that's not getting along very well. So Israel cannot afford to put its future, its security, its economics, its water resources, and everything else involved in maintaining the survival and the existence of the state of Israel and its citizens in the hands of a entity that is, for all intents and purposes, still stuck in the stage of terror and revolution and resistance. And of course, if the king had said, I am willing to extend, for example, autonomy, condominium, a federation, well, then we would have realized that he's moderate and he's trying to help the local Arabs. Just coming out against a two-state solution and doing it in the European Union, Jimmy, which has been violently, at least in verbal sense, anti-Israel for the past 40 years or so, I don't think that's a smart thing for him to do.
You know, in addition to saying what you just referred to him as making the comments on, Abdullah said that Israel has disregard for international law. My question, what international law is he talking about?
Well, unfortunately, Jordan has been a partner in trying to harm, or should I say injure, Israel's and the Jewish people's interests in places like Jerusalem by linking up with various UN or UNESCO resolutions that sort of strip the city of Jerusalem of its Jewish character, its Jewish history, its Jewish identity. And so in this case, I would suggest to the king to put forward plans that could help the local Arabs gain some sort of a standing by proving they're worthy and not just demanding it, which would harm Israel.
The king is concerned about the safety, I do believe, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, for the Israeli-Jewish state when he said that a war between Israel and Iran would wreak untold chaos in the world. And I don't understand how he could make that statement either. Can you explain it?
No, Jimmy, I don't want to be sort of talking down, but you and I have seen the better side of many years, and I just don't understand Arab politics and Arab thinking on strategic security regional issues here. I mean, if it wasn't for Israel in 1970, and I know I'm going back a long while, but you remember it, Jordan would have been swallowed up by Syria. We put our tanks on the border and warned Syria not to invade Jordan. During the first Iraq war, Israel laid a little bit of cover for Jordan while missiles were coming over. So he has a lot of debt owed Israel, including the Black September at that time. And so I don't think that he should be so outrageously anti-Israel in international forums if he wants any sort of peace or arrangement here between Israel on the one hand and Jordan on the other. And let's not forget, Jordan is basically a Palestinian state, both by virtue of its geography, located in what we call historic Palestine over the centuries, and its population, as far as I know, is well over 60% originally from what we call Judea and Samaria.
You know, I think as I've looked at what the king had to say there in the European Parliament, the only thing that came close to being somewhat real was the fact that if there is a continued battle between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it could bring about a resurgence of terrorism across the world. Well, that's going to happen anyway, but that's probably pretty much a statement on target, would it not be?
Well, look, Jimmy, let's turn another page. The support of the Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan is strong. It's not overwhelming, but it's strong. There are members of the Muslim Brotherhood in its parliament. There have been riots in the streets, both economic and otherwise. He does not rule over a strong state with a good economy, with a good security, with a good vision of what's going on. Anybody who reads the Jordan Times or the Petra News Service and easily go online and see that, it's not in the best of condition. So why he keeps on picking fights with Israel instead of coming together and protecting his throne from what I would suggest would be a Palestinian takeover of the Hashemite Kingdom is, again, as I mentioned before in my other answer to you, I just don't understand the logic or the rationale sometimes of Arab leaders.
However, because of what you said, Palestinians, 60 to 70% of the population of Jordan, and the fact is it should be Palestine over there across on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The king probably has some pretty good reasons for being concerned about what's happening, doesn't he?
Look, a king today, anywhere in the world, always has his problems because most other countries are either democratic, parliamentarian, or like Russia, a little bit dictatorial. And people don't like monarchies much, or to keep the monarchy in place, you have to be very oppressive sometimes. So he rules over a country that, no matter what he says, is not that democratic and not that free. He doesn't have much natural resources. He's landlocked except for the Aqaba port, which is right next to Eilat. So I would think that you would say, why can't I make peace or keep the peace? And Jordan did sign a peace treaty with us, Jimmy and listeners, back in 1994. But in many cases, he keeps on trying to turn or knock over the milk container on the table for reasons that I admit to you, I don't really understand.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm going to suggest next time I see the king that you should be an advisor to the monarchy there. You could give them some real sharp thinking about how the operation should unfold. Winky, thank you so much for being available. It's very important we continue to have conversations with you because of your knowledge, but also because of the insight you bring to our broadcast table. Thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again soon.
Jimmy, have a great time in Arizona and success. And thank you very much for having me on the program. Goodbye to you and our listeners.
A very important report from Winky Medad, focusing on what King Abdullah had to say to the European Parliament. You know, the Lord swore by his holy name, Ezekiel 36:22, that he is going to give the area of Judea and Samaria to the Jewish people forever. In fact, the Lord told the Jews that he will give them 10 times what they have today. That is the land covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Arab world and its leaders deny that land to the Jewish people. And in fact, the Arabs say that God's promise of the land to the Jews, his chosen people, is null and void. God cannot lie. Therefore, he must give all the land that he has promised to the Jewish people, and he will do that. Arab refusal to believe God does not negate his promise to the Jewish people. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.